And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited, and as always, we are working on your financial freedom. And if you tuned in yesterday, you remember we talked about hoarder houses. Hoarders being those collectors of things, animals, trash sometimes. Talked about what they are, how to find them. Doing your due diligence, very important, buying those and then renovating those. And it's a great opportunity for some very, very good returns. And as I mentioned yesterday, today what I want to do is talk about another type of property that I personally like to buy and fix up, and those are those older homes. Now, if you're listening to me right now and you're in your 20s and you spent all your life growing up in a house that was built in the 2000s, you might be looking at those 80s builds and think to yourself, man, those are old. They're over 40 years old already. I'm over 40. I don't feel that old. And I'll tell you, those 80s builds, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about even older. We'll define that here in a little bit. But here, too, there's a lot of opportunity for some great returns on these older properties. And I love seeing the turnaround on those things. And I will tell you, there can be some challenges, and we'll talk about those in the course of the show as well, so that you're prepared if you do decide, hey, I'm going to go after some of these older houses. Let me tell you first and foremost, though, why I like older houses. There are a number of reasons. I mentioned the returns, and quite frankly, a lot of people are afraid of those older houses, so there is less competition. So if I think about selection criteria, a lot of people stop at those 80s builds that we just mentioned. We'll dial in criteria here in just a moment. And because there's less competition, typically there's a more, a more reasonable purchase price. And depending on the area you're targeting, now you may find these older houses in some of the posh neighborhoods around Dallas. If you're new to the program, I'm in Dallas-Fort Worth is where I sit. I've been investing in single-family houses for a decade now. And we're not targeting those higher value areas, but there are a lot of up-and-coming neighborhoods in the older suburban areas where we find these older properties that have a good price and have a good after repair value that is in that range that we like, maybe north of 150 now to 200, a little north of 200K even. And I'll tell you, some of my best returns have been on those older properties. Now, they may have a heavier lift. We'll talk a little bit about that. But there's some things, some aspects about them that I like that make them a little bit easier to work with. For example, a lot of those older homes may not have that slab foundation. If you grew up in that 2000 build property, you had a slab foundation. A lot of these older homes may have pier and beam, which gives a lot of benefits. For example, I can get under the house. It's easier to do plumbing if I need to. Why does that matter? We'll get to that as well. And you can really have some fun with the floor plans. Now, we're here to make money. That's what we're doing is looking, seeking the returns, but I just have a lot of fun with these, and you may be able to go in and change up the floor plan significantly. Those hardwood floors as well. Love the hardwood floors. You go, you're doing your due diligence, you're walking the house, getting ready to make an offer. If you can kind of maybe peel back that old carpet that's sitting there in that bedroom, I bet you'll find some hardwood under that, especially if it's a pier and beam house. Quick refinish. Looks great, lots of character, and I'll tell you, renters, tenants, they love those hardwood floors. And as I mentioned, they're often in those great neighborhoods that are now turning around, meaning they've maybe sat kind of wasted a little bit, not the house, but the neighborhood, and they're starting to become up-and-coming areas. A lot of 50s builds, they have really, really good bones, sometimes even better than what we saw in more recent houses that were built in the 60s and the 70s. So older homes is a good niche to target. Now, how do you find this? We talked yesterday on the show about the hoarder houses. How do you target a hoarder house? How do you find that? Similar approach here. You know, these older properties may be listed on market with a realtor on the MLS. Easy way to go. And there are still opportunities on the MLS, so find some good realtors to work with. It can be a little more competitive, admittedly, but depending on where you sit, which market you are in fact, Lifestyles Unlimited has realty teams, for example, in Tennessee now, and a lot of the investment opportunities in houses that I see from that market are listed in the MLS. So it depends on where you're targeting, but those could be on market or off market. And I'll tell you a little bit about the two-day financial freedom seminar. Day one of that seminar is where we go into investing in single-family houses. Everything you need to know to go out and buy a house. And in fact, this is the cool part. At least at the last couple of two-day seminars that I've gone to, the presenter has gone online into the local MLS and found and analyzed opportunities live during that seminar. This is a house that is on the market, and you can go out. You can go out after the seminar, go try to contract that thing. But they'll go in and show you how the whole analysis goes, and they're finding these things on the MLS. They're still there. They're still there. It is tighter now. And we've talked on earlier shows that the market is cooling in terms of the number of transactions. Things are settling down. We're seeing longer days on market. We're seeing inventory creep up a little bit. So that's going to point to even more opportunity by way of the MLS in the near term. So keep an eye on that. Otherwise, typically off market, and that may be by way of a wholesaler. We talked yesterday about probate. Affidavit of heirship filings. These are things where, you know, related to somebody's death, high equity leads, foreclosures, pre-foreclosures. You can find all of these things, not the high equity, but the probate, the affidavit of heirship, the foreclosure filings at the county clerk. I'm your host, Andy Webb, and we're talking today about older houses. And I'm going to define for you here in a minute what I have in mind. What is older? It's not 80s builds. A lot of things changed in the 80s that make that type of house a little more favorable, and obviously anything newer, which is why pre-80s we see typically a little less competition, which means better pricing, better returns. I was telling you just a moment ago, places you can go to get leads on these, and if you're a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, I work very, very closely with the Lifestyles Unlimited Realty team, whether that's here in Dallas-Fort Worth, where I sit, or Houston. I just reached out to one of the realty team on an email they had sent for a property in an area where we just bought a couple houses. I said, hey, I'm interested in learning more. We'll see when I get off the program here what I've gotten back. Hopefully it's still available. If not, you know, we'll keep moving along. So realtors are a good place to go. If you're a member at Lifestyles Unlimited, work with that realty team. You know, after my wife retired, we got her out of her job in just 3 years, once we became real estate investors, started following the map at Lifestyles Unlimited, built up enough single-family houses to get her out of her job. 3 years later, she's sitting on her hands. We didn't have our son yet. What do I do? Well, she started getting together a little mailing campaign, and we had a couple of farm areas in areas that we liked, areas where we had houses, and she sent out some postcards. We picked up a great 50s build that way. So if you want to do your own direct mail, that's certainly an option. It takes a little bit of time, a little bit of research, a little bit of due diligence. She had the time. She was retired and was full-time in real estate then. Great house that way, just through high equity leads that we found on the appraisal district, on the tax rolls. Other options, we're talking about places to go to find the leads on these types of properties, divorce filings. Typically, divorce is an acrimonious thing. People have to move that house fast. We got a great, great house from the divorce court. They had to sell it. It was a decree from the judge. It had to go. So we got in touch with that person. And another 50s build, Pier & Beam House, has been wonderful for us. Again, city violations, we talked about code enforcement yesterday. If people aren't maintaining their house on the outside, they're probably not maintaining it on the inside. And there may be financial reasons, financial distress behind that issue. So you want to try to find those either visually by driving the neighborhoods. People do that, driving for dollars or getting those lists if you can. There are ways to do that from the city code or permit departments. So you find these properties, you're trying to find these properties. Again, I work very, very closely with realty team, with wholesalers and so on. How do you know when you want to buy these? Or what are other people looking to buy? Let's talk about that. A lot of people have investing criteria in place that includes age as a criterion. And we'll get to age in a moment. They're typically looking for some sort of financial return, right? We have a certain cash-on-cash return. We want to see a certain equity capture, right? We make money five ways with our houses. That's the big benefit of real estate investing. There's the cash flow. There's the equity capture at the outset, and then the ongoing benefits of equity buildup and appreciation, not to mention the tax advantages. But we want to see certain financial returns on at the outset. Geographical location. I mentioned Tennessee. I'm in Dallas-Fort Worth. Can I invest in Tennessee? Absolutely. Georgia, we have a realty team there. Arizona, for example. So you can get outside of your geographical hub. It doesn't have to be local Houston. For me, out of Dallas, what is that, 3-4 hour drive? I won't be driving down there, but we'll build the team remotely. I'm going to talk about building a team remotely very soon on another show, by the way. Other investing criteria might be the configuration of that house. A lot of people want very strict 3-bed, 2-bath, 2-car garage. Now, we do deviate. I deviate personally because, you know, some of these older homes, they have a 1-car garage. Some of them might be a 3-bed, 1.5-bath, 1-car garage. Picked up another winner that looked like that. What we did, Pier and Beam, is because it was Pier and Beam, we'll talk about the flexibility around that plumbing, we were able to go in and convert that half bath into a full bath. Changes the scenario entirely. Makes it very desirable in a neighborhood full of half, 1.5 baths. Now we got 2 full baths, one off the master, one off the hall. Great stuff. And finally, investing criteria. A lot of people will set an age limit. And here, again, a lot of investors do not like to go after those older homes. Why? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the challenges that you may run into with older property. It is simply older bones. You know, I got my right knee here has been aching. If I sit cross-legged on the floor and I try to stand up, it starts creaking and I can't straighten my leg for a little bit. I'm getting older. I got those older bones. Well, you see that with these properties. Some of the interior workings may need to be addressed. Same issue here. So a lot of people just don't want to take that on. That creates opportunity for you. Now, what constitutes an old house, and what are some of the characteristics? It's going to be somewhat relative to where you are investing. Again, in Tennessee or Georgia, they're going to have older housing stock than perhaps we do right here in the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex or in Houston. I see a lot of email leads for San Antonio. There's older inventory that I'm seeing a lot of down there. So let's focus on Texas and let's work our way backwards and talk about some of the various decades. So again, 80s and newer. 80s is where a lot of things with building requirements changed. And in the 80s, we started to get away from that cast iron sewer line, that cast iron plumbing. Now, be careful, because a lot of builders still had that cast iron inventory and they exhausted that through their building, right, through the building process. I have seen 83 builds that still have cast iron. So they're out there, but they're farther and fewer between. So do your due diligence. If you're contracting on an 80 house, have those lines scoped. You may still find a lot of the electrical changed at this point. Federal Pacific, that's the stab lock. You've probably heard about that. That's that scary breaker. If you get the inspection report back and it's got a picture of flames and everything's in red. Ooh, bad panel. Well, those Federal Pacific stab lock breaker type panels, those started to go away in the 80s. You'll still find those though. And they're probably still in closets. You may want to address that, flip those to the outside. 80s builds, what I see a lot of are those very heavy all brick fireplaces. Boy, when you put all that brick on brick on brick on the side of the house, what happens is the foundation starts to sink. And I don't even think of 80s as an older build, just telling you a little bit about some of the characteristics. You may have that galley kitchen configuration, right? Things were a little bit more enclosed in the floor plans back then. You're starting to see those walk-in closets. Ooh, people like those, at least in the master or primary bedroom. A lot of the hedge funds out there and institutional investors, it's these 80s and newer builds that they want to find, specifically because the bones are newer, the plumbing is newer, it's PVC, it's copper, right? The panels, the electrical is newer. They probably already have the GFCI in the wet areas. Very easy to replace if they don't. Those are 80s builds. Going back a decade or even two, let's talk about 60s and 70s. And boy, you may even find some of that original shag carpet in one of those 60s builds. We bought one of those. It had the original green shag carpet. It had survived decades and decades and decades of life in that house. Didn't look great, but it was there, but not for long. Got rid of that thing. But you may find that, right? Sunken living room floors in the 70s. What do you do with those? Neighborhoods with a mix of one and two car garages, right? We're starting to move away from zero and one car to two car. Smaller footprints. Hey, I hear the music kicking on. Let's head into a quick break, and I want to come back and get into the 50s and 40s and older. So stick around.
Got questions? Call Lifestyles Unlimited at 855-497-4335. The Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues next.
Kirby tells Dell about his experience as a member and apartment owner.
Started out as a passive.
Yes.
And then one day the light bulb went on. Hey, why don't I do this?
Yeah. I was sitting at home. I'm like, when you're 33 years old and you're retired, and yeah.
You got to get that? Yeah, I'm 33. I don't know what the hell to do with myself.
I really didn't. There was one week I went
on. Doesn't life suck?
And it seems unbelievable to me when I think about my history, but it's really simple. I joined Lifestyles. I've taken the two-day class a half a dozen times. I network with other Lifestyles members, leads. I do what Lifestyles teaches. I'm on my properties. I invest a lot of our personal funds in the properties, and it has just created unbelievable results, and it's completely improved my life.
Ready for your unbelievable results? Start with a free workshop just like Kirby. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. If you have any questions, send me an email to askandy@luinc.com. Again, that is askandy@luinc.com. And we're talking today about older houses. That's a niche that you may want to think about as a real estate investor in single-family rental houses. We talked yesterday about a different niche that would be the hoarder houses. There are a lot of different niches you can get into, right? The riches are in the niches. If you become focused on one of these, you become an expert. And we have a lot of experts, by the way, at Lifestyles Unlimited, especially on our mentor team. And I'll tell you a little bit about them here just a little bit later. But we're talking about older houses. Now, I talk with a lot of newer investors, and they're like, ooh, you know, I don't want to do a big heavy lift on my first investment. I understand that. So they look for that newer property, 80s and newer. That's why there's a lot more focus on that newer inventory. Hedge funds, institutional investors, they're all focused in that space, 80s, 90s, newer stuff. But I found a ton of opportunity and had great, great returns, great rewards on these older properties. So we're talking now about what constitutes an older house. We talked about the 80s, some of the idiosyncrasies, I suppose, what we saw in the 80s, how things changed. 60s and 70s, you know, I found a lot of those 70s builds have the sunken living room floors. Sometimes you keep those. I've seen people fill those in. Either or works. Typically, we still have a little bit of the smaller footprint in these houses. You know, so you may go to a neighborhood that is 60s and 70s builds and find that a lot of the garages have been converted to account for that, to create some more living space. Can you do the same? You can. If it's already been converted and is in good condition, do you keep it? That's up to you. If that's what the neighborhood has, typically, yeah, we just leave it as it is. Now, something you might run into in the 60s and 70s is aluminum wiring. There was a shortage in copper back then, so builders started to go to aluminum. Aluminum is a little bit more of a fire risk. I have a house that has some aluminum in that, and we did what we needed to do to pigtail the aluminum, to use aluminum-rated fixtures and outlets and so on. There are ways to address that. There are workarounds. And if you have a good general contractor, they'll be able to help you work through that. Insurance may be a little bit more of a challenge because insurers do not like aluminum, but don't let that scare you. Just know that you may run into that. Another good reason to have an inspector out there as part of your due diligence. One thing that did change late in the 70s is lead-based paint went away. We stopped using that. Okay, late 70s. In fact, as you go to do your lease up, and we've talked about the lease recently, there are a number of addenda you may use. Well, if your house was built before 1978, there is an addendum that you absolutely want to, must, in fact, use, which is that lead-based paint addendum. This is a federal requirement. And it basically informs the new tenant that's signing that lease that there may be lead in the paint. If you haven't had it tested and you don't know, you check the box that I don't know. Right? If you have had it tested and you do know, well, you check that and you let them know. It's just a disclosure, but you do need to use that if it's a house built before 1978. We've done a number of 50s, 60s, 70s build. We always supply that addendum, again, federal requirement. The other thing we still see in the 60s and 70s tends to be those smaller closets. And I love to go and show one of my houses to people and they tell me, boy, those closets are small. I say, yeah, 60s build, can't help you there. Now, if we go back a decade, interestingly, in the 50s, we still have smaller closets in those secondary bedrooms, but I have a number of those with the master closets that were walk-in. I don't know if these people were building custom product or forward-thinking or what, but boy, things are a little bit different. Like I said, those 50s bones really tend to be a little bit stronger. Maybe the craftsmanship, I would say, in the 50s were very solid, you know? And, I personally have not gone older than 50s. So when I'm thinking about older houses, this is what I like to target, is that 50s to 59. It's a mix of slab and pier and beam foundations that you're going to find in the product. And pier and beam, I love those. Again, you tend to find those great hardwood floors. They may be covered up by laminate or vinyl plank that people put down or carpet. Peel those back, get that stuff out of there, and refinish those things. Oh, it's gorgeous. Another thing I like about those pier and beam houses at those crawl spaces access. It's usually in one of the closets, but that allows us to do a lot of things with the floor plan. It may be, like I said, adding a half bath to that 1.5 situation. So when you walk that house, when you're meeting with the seller, or if it's a wholesale lead or on market even, pay real close attention. Where are all the plumbing lines? And where are the closets relative to that half bath? Last one we did, there's a really good sized closet off the hallway that backed up or sided to the half bath off the master bedroom. Very easy to take down that wall, close up that door, add a shower. Makes it much more rentable in that sense when you have a two bath house. I love that. So 50s, 40s, and older, we start to see other foundation types besides pier and beam and slab. Wiring becomes more of a challenge. Knob and tube, going to want to get rid of that. We're getting away from brick, and we're starting to see more wood houses, more siding, smaller, even smaller footprints, if that's possible. Yeah, they get pretty small back there. And we're not going to go past there. My expertise personally is exhausted at that point. We have even older inventory. And if you want to go even older, find somebody that can help you with that, that can guide you. In our case at Lifestyles Unlimited, we have those mentors. In fact, I did a show April of 2022 with Nicole. She's one of the mentors here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. She's named a number of her houses. She had the 401k house. Why is it called that? Well, she bought it using funds from her 401k. Then she went on to tell us about her 1908 house. Yeah, 1908. Is the street address 1908? No, built in 1908. So if I ever decide I'm going to go and do a house that was built in the first decade of the 1900s, I'm going to go to my mentor, Nicole, and say, hey, here's what I'm doing. Here's what it looks like. Help me out here. And she's going to guide me. Great thing about mentors. And she'll help me at the due diligence stage and during the rehab as needed, anytime I have questions. Speaking of due diligence, some things to look out for as you walk one of these older properties. Maybe this is prior to going under contract, or maybe this is during due diligence. Get an inspection. I already mentioned an inspector. They're going to tell you a lot of the things you need to know. And if it is a pier and beam, you know, I personally, when I'm walking the house, I'll find that trap door in the closet. If I can access it, I'll flip it open. I'll poke my head under with a flashlight, see what I can see. I am not going under there. I am not going under that house. I'm looking at the sewer lines. I can see, maybe they've changed the cast iron already to PVC. Great, great thing if they have. Sometimes the owners don't know, don't remember. Looking at the water lines, maybe galvanized. Plan to swap those out with PEX if they are. And just generally looking at the crawl space, is there room? Sometimes you have to excavate that crawl space over the years. If we're talking 40s, 50s build, that soil can backfill under there. So may need to excavate that. Not the end of the world, just budget for those things. And speaking of crawl space, got any critters? You may or may not see those, but keep that in the back of your mind. You may need to have a pest control plan into place. Attic, how's the insulation? You know, evidence of wood shake shingles. I've been in the attic, look, you know, poke my head up. Don't go crawling around in there, but poke my head up to look. And houses back in the day, they were built, they didn't use composite shingles like we have today. I'm seeing fewer and fewer of these as I drive around, but occasionally I'll still see a house that has wood shake shingles. Can you say fire hazard? Can you say liability? Does insurance like to insure those any more than aluminum wiring? No. No. Sometimes what owners will do, though, is they have gone and put the composite shingles on top of that wood shake. So I want to poke my head up in the attic and see. Do I see any evidence of wood shake under that gorgeous 30-year architectural shingle that they just put on last year? I've found those before. Either you need to do that or have your inspector take a look, because that will take some remediation, absolutely. How are the windows? Right? 50s build, older. We've got those old wood-cased windows. How do they look? You can probably keep them if they're in good shape. Do you need to replace them, right? Decision point right there. And finally, during that initial walkthrough, what's the layout lookout? We talked about this, especially on a pier and beam house. We're talking today about one of my favorite types of properties to take down, to buy and renovate as a single family rental owner and investor. And that's the older house. I love those 50s builds. Why is that? Well, we talked about that in the first segment. If you missed any part of the show, the earlier part of the show, you can go to lifestylesunlimited.com, click on the radio tab there, and catch that. But there are a lot of upsides, a lot of positives to those older properties, and I've had some tremendous returns on those very properties. A lot of times people, investors, they shy away from things beyond or earlier than a certain build year. 80s is the cutoff for a lot of people, because plumbing changed then, improved to PVC, electrical improved, no lead base paint, all sorts of things. But there's so much opportunity in those older properties, and you do want to get educated, and you do want to help you through the process when you take one of these things on. Some things to think about when renovating an older house. We hit a little bit on those as we've gone through the course of the show. Main areas really where you may encounter more work, more issues, more renovations. You may have heard us talk, in fact, on earlier shows about just the general scope of work for a renovation, any renovation. And it's commonly going to be cosmetic. And then the big five. We talk about the big five. Those are the things that may eat a big portion of your budget outside of that general cosmetic renovation. That's going to be the roof. That's going to be the foundation. That's going to be the plumbing. Potentially the electrical. And then the HVAC, the HVAC, the heating, ventilation, and the more commonly called air conditioning. So those are the areas where you might run into some of those bigger ticket items. And when you're working up your offer on one of these older properties, be sure to price those in if they're needed, right? Now, I'm going to keep an eye on the time we have left in the program. We're in our final segment here, and I may get to some of those big ticket items in a bit more detail. The plumbing in particular, I want to try to get to, possibly electrical. But I think more importantly than focusing on these big ticket items, it's making sure if you're going to go down this path and you're going to focus on these older properties. Again, I stop at 1950s, or I have so far. But I know people that go much, much older. Again, Nicole, 1908 house. It's very, very important if you're going to go that far back that you have the right team around you. That is critical. Who do I mean when I say team? Well, obviously the people that can evaluate the property for you, that's that inspector. Anyone else that you send out prior to close as part of your due diligence to get bids, that's going to include your general contractor, right? That inspector, again, I'm going to stress this. I do not want to go into the crawl space. They do that for me. I love it. They mask up, they gear up in our 100+ degree temperatures in Texas. I don't want to be down under the crawl space or up in the attic, but they'll do that for me. General contractor, they're not going to do that, but they're going to look at the house. They're going to see those bigger ticket items. Try to find somebody that's done that age of a house before. And maybe more important, most important, is somebody that can guide you. And I mentioned this already, somebody that has renovated, and I don't mean the GC, but somebody as an investor that has renovated this type of property before. And that's where the single family mentored team that we have in place at Lifestyles Unlimited around Texas and nationally as well, that's where they're there to guide you. So if I decide, hey, I'm going to go buy that house that I saw in an email blast from the realty team in Tennessee that has a basement, never dealt with a basement here in North Texas, and is built in the early 1900s, I'm going to lean very heavily on the national mentor team. So a lot of these guys, they've dealt with this type of older house before. Like I mentioned, Nicole, check out my interview with Nicole. It was April of 2022. Among other things, we do talk about her 1908 house. That's what she calls it. That is the build year. And she is a mentor here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. While you're there, you can go to lifestylesunlimited.com, click on the radio tab. You can sort by my name, Andy Webb, or do a search for Nicole, perhaps. While you're there, check out my interview with Sorrell. Sorrell is, I did this interview in March of 2022, so a month prior. He's a mentor down in Houston, and he teaches a class specifically on older houses. In fact, that's recorded. We can watch that on replay in the education portal that we have at Lifestyles Unlimited. But we have those live from time to time as well. So that's two mentors right there that I know I can go to on these older properties. And they're not alone. We have many, many others. Again, go to lifestylesunlimited.com, click on that radio tab. And those are just two, right? Those are just two of many successful real estate investors that are here as mentors at Lifestyles Unlimited to serve you. That's their job. That's what they do, by showing you the map and helping you through when you have questions or concerns or fears or, we went under the house and it's galvanized plumbing. What do we do? So we've got a little bit of time left. And let's talk about that. Let's talk about some of the potential big ticket items. And I don't want to tell you about these to scare you. I just want you to know to look for these because they may be present in some of these older properties. I've run into these over the years. Plumbing is a big one. Sewer lines. So if the house, you know, we mentioned in about the 80s, right, we got away from cast iron and started to go to PVC. Sewer lines can be an issue. If it's pier and beam, again, this is why I love pier and beam houses. It's very easy to get under there and do that repipe. They're not having to go dig under the slab or jackhammer through the slab. If you do have a 50s build with a slab foundation, that's what you do. It's okay. You just price that in. And you're not doing it. Your contractor will be doing that. But it's very easy to get to those sewer lines. What about from the house to the city line? This is where it gets interesting. That run from the house to the city line may be cast iron as well, and cast iron is getting pretty old. It's approaching its shelf life now. You may need to plan to go ahead and replace that run as well. Have that scoped, right? Have your plumber run a camera down there. Interestingly, I've run into non-cast iron sewer lines that have given me problems in the past. Clay pipes. Back in the day, they used clay pipes, and those things do collapse over time. And more recently on a house, we ran into not cast iron, not clay pipes, but concrete. I was a little surprised. And yes, after 70 years, that concrete is in fact failing. Not a problem. Budget that in. Replace it. Now you know you've got sewer lines under the house that are PVC and sewer lines running out to the curb that are PVC. In that area, you are now bulletproof. Now that's outbound. What about inbound water lines? This is something to pay attention to as well. Sometimes they're copper, but if you get back old enough, we run into a lot of galvanized piping. And what happens over time is that galvanized material corrodes and it starts to shut down the ability of the water to come through the pipe. It may stop altogether. If you get into an older part of town, you may see those little water, you know, in the parking lots, you may see those places where you can go to take your 5-gallon bottle of water to refill it. That's a sign that you've got older piping in that area. There's a demand for that water because people are not getting that at their house. What do? You just simply go through and take out the galvanized and go in with the new modern PEX, which again, with a pier and beam, very easy to do. Now, as you're walking the house, you know, you may be able to see that under the foundation. Your inspector will certainly tell you. But if you just look at the fixtures, you may see some copper or rust-colored stains on the sink or around the fixtures. That typically will tell you there's rusting in the pipes. Galvanized, done. Plan for it. So plumbing can be a big one. Electrical is the other one that I tend to want to address on these older houses. Commonly, the panel's not where it should be. It's in a closet, or I've seen them in the kitchen or somewhere in the interior of the house. I like to flip those to the outside, and while I'm at it, upgrade it to 200 amps, something a little more powerful that can handle our modern technology. At a minimum, we're taking care of that panel. You know, there may be basic stuff like adding GFCI outlets to the wet areas, the outdoors, the garage. Wiring in the houses, it's probably ungrounded. Now the question becomes, do you really want to rewire? If I don't have any reason to take the sheetrock down, we talked yesterday on the Hoarder House show, there are times where you may want to take that sheetrock and insulation down and replace it. Well, that's a great time to go ahead and rewire. It's not going to cost you that much more at that point. Get the grounded wiring into place. But if not, you know, we just go in with new two-prong outlets, maybe add a surge protector into the panel. That's if it's ungrounded, copper, more standard situation wiring. If it's knob and tube, you need to plan to go in and address that. That's a little bit more of a fire hazard. Now, foundations, we talked pier and beam. I love them on these older houses, a little bit more flexibility. You know, want to make sure there's adequate crawl space. If not, you can excavate that. Plan, you may need to replace a little bit of wood, especially around the perimeter. We've done that on a few houses. It doesn't break the budget. Have your foundation company take a look. And then the roof. A roof is a roof is a roof. Pretty easy to access, but you may want to pay close attention to the ventilation. They didn't vent these things as well when they put them together in the 30s, 40s, 50s. At a minimum, you can add a couple of turbines. That's going to help. Some people prefer the ridge vents, but you'll need to think about adding those venting windows around the soffits, closing up the louvers on the side. Lots of things you can do, but that's where you'll talk to the experts. Look, bottom line, older houses. There's a lot of things we can talk about here. Older houses are a great opportunity to create some really great returns. Don't be shy. But I'll tell you, as an investor, you do want a proper education before you take one of these on. And you do want a guiding hand by your side as well. Learn more about how we can help you in both cases by going to lifestylesunlimited.com. Click on the free workshop. That's a great place to start. Keep listening to this program as well. I thank you for listening today. My name is Andy Webb. You've been listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. You have a great day.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.